believe that tonight? Come on, kingdom people, do you believe that tonight? The word is just as powerful in your mouth as it is in God's mouth. We are his kings in the earth. We are here to do his bidding, to represent him, to expand and extend and establish kingdom here on earth. Through mankind. Through the church. Amen. But tell somebody, learn the language. So we see there in James that there's a course of a language, terminology. And that course of nature is set on fire of hell. Remember the story of Dathan and Korah when they rose up against Moses? And they begin to criticize and accuse Moses. Moses and Aaron fell on their face, and God told them, have them gather tomorrow in a particular place. And when they gathered, the Lord said, told Moses, tell everyone that's on your side to come on this side. And everybody that's on their side, stay on that side. 250 leaders stayed with them. Whole bunch of folk ran over on Moses' side. And then God opened up hell. The desert opened up and fire came up out of there and consumed all the rebels. But their mouth, their tongue, their rebellious speaking against Moses set on fire the course of nature, which was set on fire of hell. It opened hell. I'm telling you, your tongue can move heaven or open hell. Amen. It's that important that we get a hold upon and, you know, get control of and manage our language. Amen. That's one of the most important things in the exosphere, to manage how you're talking. Language in the Hebrew means a margin, a termination or border or boundary or shore. Through language, boundaries and borders are created. Through language, boundaries and borders are created. I want to do a real quick example. Let me have two brothers real. These are my angels. Okay, and come on, Sam. Just real quick demonstration. Stand here, stand right here next to me. Okay, I've gotten a vision from God, and I'm just starting out, and I'm just getting hold of the language. Now God gave me a big vision. But right now, you know, let me say it this way. I don't have two nickels to rub together. But I start talking the language. I start speaking what thus saith the Lord, you know, in my closet. When I'm in conversation, I'm not in agreement with a bunch of foolishness and unbelief. But I'm speaking things that are what God said. In other words, I'm talking, whether I'm using scripture or not, I'm talking in relation to the vision. I'm not going to speak against the principle of the vision. You know, somebody try to tell you, you know, everybody going to die with something. You say, oh, not me. You know, people will slip stuff in there, like, you know, just little nuggets of unbelief. You know, the economy getting bad, you know, everybody losing, not me. You know what I'm saying? Because you get it. I'm telling you, in the exosphere, it ain't bombs falling. It's insinuations, suggestions, words that come across the warfare plane of your mind. Because the enemy knows you're at a place, you're governed by other laws now. He can't bowl you over. He can't just wrestle you down. He's got to get you to act upon your own accord to saying things. Do you understand what I mean? What I mean here? Now, here are my two angels. Now, When I'm talking unbelief and doubt, they're just like this. Their hands are tied. But when I start talking faith, when I start saying, I believe what the Bible says concerning my vision, and that I will have what God said I'll have in the time that God says I will have it. You see, language increases boundaries and borders. Go out this way. Stand out there. Go out this way. As I'm talking, right there. Okay? As I'm speaking faith, I may not see it with my natural eyes, but they've already expanded the territory. They're already moving stuff back. And as I stay on the word, move out further. Move out further. As I stay on the word, I may be in warfare. I may just have lost a job or something. I may not see my way, but I'm still speaking the word. Them angels are expanding the territory. The kingdom is enlarging. God is saying, I'm setting you up. Don't walk by what you see. Don't walk by what you feel. Keep my word in your mouth, because that language will expand the kingdom. Eventually, you will see if you'll stay the course. Joshua, don't allow the word to depart out of your mouth. Keep it in your mouth. You see, and who knows, as they go further and further out, they're going to arrest things. They're pushing darkness back. Do you know, angels have one nature. Angels ain't got a whole lot of nature. They don't have a whole lot of stuff they're doing. You know, they're, you know, whittling their fingers and, you know, checking their watch. And they have one assignment, one nature. They hearken to the voice. That one, that those that are sent to protect you, they protect you. Do you understand me? They're not there. They're not there for anything else but to protect you. Those that are sent to advance you, they come with one assignment. And there are seasons where you have to understand, in different regions of the world, there are different angels. Amen. You come up on different principalities. There are different angels that are there. Amen. And you got to engage those things. You got to keep the kingdom language going, because there are sometimes people in those regions that don't have the kingdom language. And you get there and suddenly you start speaking it. Angels go to work. Transformation starts happening. Change starts coming. Prosperity starts coming. People start getting healed. People start getting saved. Why? You're expanding the kingdom through language. Angels hearken to the voice. You can sit down, gentlemen. Hearken to the voice of God's word. And when you're talking crazy, them angels still going to be with you. See, they only have one nature. That's why the enemy wanted to get into the body of man. Because man could express so many different things, so many different ways. They cannot. They are on one assignment. That angel that wrestled with Jacob, he said, why are you asking my name? What is that to you? He wasn't there to give him his name. That you know, he could have said, well, my name is such and such. And I said, no, what is that to you? Because they're on assignment. And you have to understand that. That's why you can't get all whack and crazy with your words, because there are demons outside of that shield that are listening, that, like with Peter. Remember Peter, when Jesus said, I have to go to the cross, and at the Last Supper, he said, there's one of you that is going to betray me. And they got to asking, you know, they got real somber, real afraid. Uh-oh, is it me? Is that John? Ask him, who is it? But right after that, they got to arguing. Who was the greatest? Not only am I not going to betray him, but I'm going to sit next to him in his kingdom. I'm the greatest. And the Lord went to Peter and said, Simon, Satan has demanded to have you. He said he demanded to have you. Now, wait a minute. He belonged to the Lord. But through Peter's words and his pridefulness, that manifest in his words, Satan made a demand, and the Lord said, he's going to buffet you. He's coming. He's demanded to have you that he may sift you, but I've prayed for you. I have prayed for you. He can't have you, but he's going to mess you up. Come on. He's going to mess you up, Peter, but I'm not going to let him have you. You are mine. But see, your words have given him place. Read it yourself. They got to argue who was the greatest. Peter, I'm sure he won with the pride thing and with his words. And the Lord said, Satan's demanded to have you. He didn't ask to have him. He demanded. Because he knew legally Peter had crossed the line. He spoke in a language that belonged to the dark side. And the devil demanded to have him. And the Lord said, you have a right to him, but you can't have him. You can sift him. And see, that's where we must understand that all things work together for our good. Because after Peter was sifted, he was humbled. Amen. He didn't do like Judas did. When Judas got sifted, he went out and hung himself. Peter didn't do that. The Lord said, I've prayed for you. Tell somebody, thank God. Jesus is making intercession. Even when he's got to deal with you, with your pride or with whatever it may be, he's prayed for you so that the devil can't have you. Amen. You may be sifted like wheat. You see, they sift the wheat to get rid of the darnel or the tares. They have to separate the two. And wheat and tare look just alike until harvest. And so they have to be sifted. And what happens when you throw it up in the air, the tare will blow away. So there's a need for sifting. But tell somebody, the Lord's prayed for you. Don't worry. He got you. But what he does want you to do is change that language you're speaking.
Hi, it's that time of year again. The Pour the Oil Worship Conference will be held on October 12th and 13th at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center in Fort Pierce. If you serve Sunday after Sunday without an opportunity to sit and be poured into, here's your chance. Or if you just love to worship, register for the Pour the Oil Worship Conference at www.pourtheoilconference.com. Or call 772-475-6800 for more information.